Information. Here's some information which I think you're going to enjoy hearing. I went through my files. I have a file on this year, and I made a list of charter members, Rabbi Michael Rosenzweig Shear, in the date 1992.
Ooh.
Today is 2017.
It's pretty
That's
scary.
25 years ago.
Wow.
This year is 25 years old.
Amazing.
Wait,
I wouldn't have believed it.
I'm going to give you the names of the charter members. I'm going to give you the names. Here are the names. Myself, Leon Well.
Oh my goodness.
Jonas Prager, is he here?
I think he's in Florida. Is he in Florida?
Jonas Prager was there from the beginning. Michael Gottesman. Dr. Dave Horowitz.
Wow.
Is Shlomo Appel here?
He's usually here.
Shlomo Appel. And also, I have the name Noah Diamond. Now, Noah Diamond was a regular for 23 of those years. 2 years ago, he couldn't come. He's in business, and Monday was a very bad day for him. And after 23 years, he was a charter member. He couldn't come. Maybe he'll come back again.
That is amazing.
25 years.
Hard to believe.
I guess I'm only 20.
What?
I'm only 20 years.
You didn't take attendance.
But I'm a
okay. Well, we'll try to keep going and see what we can do. I guess we've gone through a bit in that time. All right. So maybe it's an appropriate topic for the day. You know, to speak about grandchildren. That's really a little bit of our topic, or descendants and ancestors. Although it's a good topic any week, I guess, right? Yeah. So we were in the Gemara on Daf Dalid Amud Aleph. We had been discussing the last 2 weeks before I went to Eretz Yisrael. We were discussing the source for Kiddushei Kesef. Not the typical one, which we're all acquainted with, Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron, but the second one, V'yotza Chinam, and the Gemara had concluded that the paradigm of a Ktana who is sold into Avdus, she's an Ama Ivria, and then she departs, you know, the sovereignty or the jurisdiction of her Adon, when she, you know, displays Simanim. So the Torah says, "Yatza chinam, ein kasef." She goes out, and there's no financial remuneration. And the diak was, "Ein kasef ladon zeh, but yesh kasef ladon acher, v'hainu ha'av." And that's the last thing we discussed. We discussed extensively the relationship between father and daughter, both in kiddushin, for Nisuin, Mais Yadayim, Afaras Nadarim, Knas, Boshesup Gam, and so on, Shvach Neurim, numerous areas, and then we expanded it. We were talking about Shitas HaRambam, trying to show that it's a very complicated topic. If there's a Din Torah revolving some financial benefit that accrues to the father because of the daughter, who is the major towing? Is it the daughter? Is it the father? Does it depend on what kind of din Torah it is, what kind of shvuah it is, and so on? So we basically try to analyze this problem to show that the relationship between father and daughter, minor daughter and also nara, a kind of an intermediate status, and you might be mechalik between them, and you might be mechalik in all these different cases, but to what extent is the father kind of a super agent on behalf of his, this is probably another charter member, right? I say another charter member, I think, just walked in. Okay? I'm pretty sure. On the original list. Am I right? For sure.
He's a founder.
Founder. Our founder. We had two founders, yeah. Welcome, anyway. It seems that we're 20. Is it the actual? This is the actual anniversary.
I don't know the exact days, but the year.
Oh, the year.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Wow. So, and as I recall, we started like in the middle of the year. We didn't start at the beginning of the year.
No, before we started on a weekly basis all year, we had 20 shiur in two Garden Hills.
Right.
Which Seth Bergman and I were organized. And then...
And then we moved to Kew Gardens.
Walter Maybrook, he said, you got to make a weekly shiur every week. You got to make a shiur.
Ah.
I said, well, if we're going to do that, being where I like the Rosen Spiders and Kew Gardens and so on.
Right, right. For many years we had... Yeah. Okay. Anyways, either way, it's an interesting history. So getting back to the point, so we have a very complex relationship between father and daughter, where in some halachos the father is really kind of the super agent of the daughter, but really he acts on her behalf. In other areas, really it is his decision regarding her fate, but it's really his jurisdiction, and she is, you know, I wouldn't say she is a pawn in Khalila, that's not the point. But the point is that these are decisions that he makes, I'm sorry?
Charge.
100%. She's his charge, and what we tried to demonstrate is that you can be mechalek between different areas of halacha or different stages, and that explains much about the Shakavataria in this sugya, and especially the discussion of the Rishonim, and it also explains many discrepancies that otherwise would be very problematic in Shitas HaRambam regarding who is the major player, the father or the daughter. The answer is a very complex question, and there's no simple answer. There are important patterns, but there isn't a single simple answer. Either way, then the Gemara says, we're on Dalet Amud Aleph, six lines down. The Gemara says, "Ahai biyatzal chinam lahachi hu da'asa, ha'miboy le lechidatanya, the tanya biyatzal chinam eli mei bagrus, en kesef eli mei nairus." Maybe we need these psukim. So the Gemara says, "Amar avina im kein le makra, ein without a yud, kesef, my ein kesef with a yud, ein kesef ladon zeh, aviyesh kesef ladon acher maniu, ah." So then the Gemara says, how do you know that it's legitimate to darshan when the Torah has a yud, right, in a word that in theory could be spelled without a yud? How do you know that's a legitimate drasha? So the Gemara says, D'tanya, again, so the Gemara is interested in this because of Ein Kesef, right, but Agav, they tell us something very interesting regarding this, D'tanya, the Zera Ein La. Right, the Torah tells us in Vayikra, right, the full pasuk I have on the side here, Ubas Kohen Ketia Almana Ugrusha. You have the daughter of a Kohen, she's Ocheles Betruma in her father's home. Then she gets married to Yisrael, means she leaves her father's domain, and there she can. And once she's married to Yisrael, she can no longer eat Truma anymore. But what happens if then she becomes either an Almana or a grusha? There's a divorce, or the husband, the Yisrael, predeceases her. So now the question is, can she return as before to her father's home and eat truma? So the Torah says, Vizera ein la, if the situation is that she has no children, Vishava el beis avia kinureha, right? Milechem avia tochel, v'chol zar lo yochal bo. Then she returns to her father's home, and she can eat truma b'toras bas kohen. So it says v'zera ein la. The word ein is written aleph yud nun sofit. Ein li ela zara. Zera zara minayin. How do you know? Let's say she doesn't have any children, right? Her children passed away. But let's say there are grandchildren from those children. So there's a remnant, in other words, of her marriage with the Yisrael in the world, although not children, but grandchildren. How do you know that that too disqualifies her from returning to her father's home, right, to become once again qualified to eat Truma Bataris Bas Kohen? So the Gemara says, Talmud Lomar, Zera Ein La, Ayin La. Right, if there are no children, keep looking, basically. In other words, any remnant whatsoever is going to be sufficient to exclude her from returning to her father's home regarding Truma. Then the Gemara says, "Ve'ein li ela zera kasher, zera pasul minayin." Let's say she has grandchildren. Let's say has children. I'm sorry, or grandchildren, as the case may be, but they're not ksherin in terms of yichus, right? Let's say mamzerim or something of that sort. Does that disqualify her? Is that the kind of zera that would exclude her from returning to her father's domain for truma? Talmud Lomar, zera ein la, ayin la. So the ayin la is not merely quantitative, meaning search, you know, her lineage, you know, to see whether or not there is zera. It's also qualitative, meaning any kind of children whatsoever. So the Gemara says, "Vafikta la zera zara." We already used ein la ayin la Allah. This extra yud has already been used to teach you grandchildren. How can you now turn around and use it for zera pasul? So the Gemara says, "Zera zara lo itzrich kra." You don't need a pasuk to teach you grandchildren. Dibnei banim harehin kebanim, because grandchildren have the same status as children. Ki itzrich kra la zera pasul. What we need a pasuk for is to teach you zera pasul. Okay, this is what we want to talk about for a few minutes. Let me just finish the Shaka Vitaria quickly. Then the Gemara says, "V'tana gufa minale," right? The darishachi. How do you know that you can darshan this extra yud? So the Gemara says, "Amri ksiv me'ein bilam," right? "Umein yabmi." So delo ksiv bu yud, v'acha ksiv bu yud. Shema minale drashu dasa. Since the Torah sometimes writes "ein," right, without a yud, therefore any time it's written with a yud, it has the potential, right, to be used for a drasha. Then the Gemara says, "Itzrich lemichtav kiddushei liavia, itzrich lemichtav maisei dov liavia." It's important to have a limud to teach you that kesef kiddushin goes to the father as well as maisei adayim. Because of rachmana kiddushei liavia, abamina mishum delo tarcha b'hu. Maybe he is entitled to her kesef kiddushin because lo tarcha b'hu. She doesn't expend any kind of effort in it. You know, it's kind of, you know, easy come, easy go. In that sense, so it goes to the father. About Maisia now, but she works in a job, right? She labors. Maybe that money should go to her. The Katar Chabahu. So Ema Didaha, that should be her money. The Ashmina Maisia Dea, the Kamitsa Mine. The other way of looking at it is the Maisia Daim is a substitution for the Mizona. He supports her, he feeds her, he takes care of her living expenses. So if she brings home a paycheck, it should be deposited in his account. Aval kiddusheha de me'alma ka'asi, but kiddushin which doesn't correspond to some benefit that she is, you know, gaining from him, right? Ema didahava tzricha. So you might think that that would something that she would be entitled to. This is the Gemara's tzricha. Okay, we'll pick up with the rest of it in a few minutes when we go on. But what I want to do is spend a few minutes, because this is one of the Gemaras in Shas that speak about Bnei Banim Harehen Kibanim, the idea that grandchildren are treated like children. And the question is, what are the parameters of that? And of course, we're not going to exhaust it, but it's an interesting topic, and we should just at least go through some of the Makaros, and then, you know, at some other point we can fill it in, or you can fill it in, as the case may be.
So,
Right. So we'll get to that in just a sec. So let why don't we say the following. If we just think about Bnei Banim, Arein Kibanim, right, it's not such a simple matter. Right? On the one hand, it's clear that there's a certain very personal and intense child parent relationship that is singular. You know, and as much as grandchildren are part of, the extended nuclear family, one might say, right? The exclusive bond of a child and a parent, right? Where the parent is a shutaf with the Rabbanu Shalom, right? In bringing this particular child into the world, where the parent is a kind of a, you know, an exemplar for a child who certainly in its earliest stages can't understand. The parent is almost like a godlike, figure until that's replaced by the Rabbanu Shel Olam. It's also the source of Amuna for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a certain, obviously, dependence and education and modeling and emulation that is very intense and that is very specific to a parent-child relationship, even vis-a-vis a grandparent relationship, which is a very close relationship, as we'll soon discuss. But as close as it could ever be, right, it can't be exactly like a parent, you know, child relationship. That level of intensity and exclusivity, this is reflected, we'll talk about Kibud Av V'Aim in a couple of minutes, but obviously the Chiyuv of Kibud Av V'Aim is first and foremost, you know, to a parent. And the first obligation of mezonos and other such things are to a child. So if we're talking about you know, the pure, like the intense experiential component of father and son, certainly, you know, as close as a grandchild relationship is, it's obviously not not on that level, certainly in terms of the intensity, even some of the qualitative elements of it. On the other hand, there's another kind of relationship which perhaps doesn't even require the formulation of Bnei Banim Kibanim, because it's less than that and it doesn't require that. And that is the idea actually that we have in our sugya, and that is when we're interested in extended family impact, remnants, right? You want to know, what is our Gemara about here? You have a Bas Kohen, she's Ocheles Petruma, right? Now the question is, she went and she got married to Yisrael. So she took herself out of the framework of Kahuna, of her father's home, and now she's an Eishes Yisrael and she doesn't eat Truma. The question is, her husband is no longer a factor because of a divorce or because he died, and now the question is there some continuity, remnant to that marriage? Is there still something about that marriage that exists in the world? So the Gemara here calls it Bnei Ban. In the end, the Gemara says, Zera Ein La, Ayin La. And then the Gemara says, well, we need that pasuk for Zera Pasul. Right? So the Gemara says, you're right, we're going to use it for Zera Pasul, because we don't really need a pasuk to teach you that grandchildren would disrupt the return to the grandfather Cohen's home. That's kind of obvious. But the Gemara calls that Bnei Banim Areim Kibanim. Is that really Bnei Banim Kibanim? Or do you need the formulation of Bnei Banim Kibanim to understand that particular halacha? L'chaora not. I'm not saying impossibly not. L'chaora not. What you really need in that case is some sort of hagdara, definition of yotze chalatzeha, right? Or yotze, you know, yiracheha. You need a visible, real, concrete, you know, remnant of the original marriage. There's no going back because there's a grandchild out there. There's a great grandchild. There's a great great grandchild. Do you need to say Bnei Banim Hareim Kibanim in order to say that? So actually, even though the Gemara does say this, it's fascinating that the Rishonim kind of rejected it, and I'll show you why in just a second. Yeah.
You have to say why the Zera disqualified her from Kahuna.
Yeah. Well, the reason is because of what I just said. Namely, the only way she can return is if there is no visible remaining symbol of her marriage to the Israel. To the Israel.
Is that all that is?
Yeah. Not dependence, it's the idea that you can't return. That's for her to be Ocheles Petruma, she has to be nothing more than a Bas Kohen. And if she is still, in some respects, an Eishes Yisrael, or if she has ties as an Eishes Yisrael, that excludes her or disqualifies her from Achila Petruma. If she has the DNA or the blood of a, not that there's anything wrong with the blood of a Yisrael, by the way, I mean, I'm a Yisrael, I should say. Meaning, I'm just dramatizing a little bit. But what I mean is, if her DNA, you know, is mixed with, if the mix of her DNA and Yisrael's DNA is still out there, you know, related to her, then she, there's no going back. She's not a Bas Kohen purely anymore.
I thought it was a question of need.
It's not a question of need, it's a question of identity. She's not, her identity as a Bas Yisrael is compromised, as a pure Bas Yisrael, Lindan Truma, is compromised by the fact that she is still, on some level, she remains an Eishes Yisrael. She's no longer married to him, but she has Yisrael, she has, you know, children and or grandchildren or great grandchildren, you know, of his, and therefore she's still tied to that other family. Being tied to that other family is enough to disqualify her from returning fully to this family. But would you need to call that B'nei Banim Areim Kebanim? It should probably be enough to say that they're Zeri Yisrael. So actually, this is exactly what the Ramban and the Rajba say. Although it's interesting. Look here at the Ramban, the first one on the new sheets. Right, Lazara Zara. Everybody have this? Right? And you notice the topic was Be'inyan B'nei Banim V'Zera. Ah, or it should be V'Zera Zera. I think it got. Or Zera Zara. I think it got this mixed up on the computer in the Hebrew, or whatever else. It doesn't make a difference. Listen to the Ramban. Line 2. Lazara Zara lo itzrich kra. B'nei Banim are in Kibbon. That's what our Gemara says. Our Gemara says you don't need B'nei Banim, grandchildren are children. That's a Svara. You don't need a Pasuk for that. Really? There are really two problems. Number one, you really don't need a Pasuk for that? And number two, is this really a din of B'nei Banim Kibbonim, or is it something a little bit of a looser connection? So the Ramban says, Ikal Meidak, Ba'amrina Meperakei Shnochlin, the Gemara in Bava Basra says, Uben Ein Lo, if a person dies and he doesn't have any sons, Ein Li Ela Ben, right? Ben Aben Minayin, let's say he doesn't have any sons. Let's say he has a son of his son, or Basa Ben Minayin. Let's say his son died before him, tragic, right? But he has grandchildren from that son, right? Right, ben bas haben minayin. Talmud lomar ben ein lo ayin alav. Okay, so if you want to look at the Gemara, look just for a second at the Gemara on the bottom of the page. Right, this is starting from line 32, 33. Masnisen seder nachlos kachu. This is the order of Yerusha. Ishki amusu ben ein lo. A man dies and he doesn't have any sons. This is a pasuk, right, in Bamidbar. Ba'avartem es nachaloso libito. This is the story of the Benos Tzlafchad, right? In the aftermath of the taina of the Benos Tzlafchad, right, the Benos Tzlafchad respectfully asked a question, and then Moshe Rabbeinu brought the matter to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then we refined our knowledge and understanding of Seder Yerusha. So what is that, right? Ish ki yamos ubein ein lo v'avartem es nachlaso lebito. No male heirs. The next level is, right, daughters, right? Ben kodem lebas, and then we're told kol yotze yirecho shel ben kodem lebas. Let's say you have a daughter, and you have a grandson, or for that matter, a granddaughter from your son, right? So that's an interesting question because your daughter is more proximate, she's your real daughter. This is your granddaughter, right? Your granddaughter from your son, though, or your grandson from your son, okay? So the din is that kol yotze yirecho shel ben kod min labas. It doesn't matter. Anybody from the son, right, trumps the daughter. But the same thing is not discriminatory. The same is true on the next level. The daughter takes priority over the brother. Just one more second. So bas kodemis lachin, yotze yerecho shel bas kod min lachin. Let's say there is no daughter, but there are grandchildren from the daughter. Do they take precedence over that of the, you have a great, 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 you know, grandson from your daughter, or you had, you have a brother. So you would think that the brother is closer, right? But that's not the way it works, right? So it goes through the daughter and her, you know, her line. Achin kodem la'achei av yotzei recho shom. Achin kodem la'achei av za'akal kolem kodem la'achei yotzei recho kodmin. Whoever's on an earlier rung in Yerusha, their entire line takes priority. Va'av kodem la'kol yotzei recho. Okay, very good. Now, what is the point of all this? So now look at the Gemara for a second. The next page, page 2. Tanur Rabbanan ben eli ela ben. So maybe it's only if you have a son. Ben aben, obasa ben, grandchildren from that son, male or female, doesn't make a difference. O ben bas haben minayin, right? Even a great-grandson. Talmud Lomar, ein lo ayin alav. This is on page 2, right? Line 1. I mean, if you don't have a son, ayin alav, keep looking. In other words, look, exhaust that entire line. Bas, Eli el Bas, Bas Abas, Bechein Habas, Ben Abas, Ubas, Ben Abas, Minayin, Talmud Lomar, Ein Lo Ayin Alav. So what's the point? What do you see from here? What do we see from here? That when it comes to the din, this is what, now go back to the Ramban for a minute. What is Ramban worried about? Go back to line 2. Like the Gemara said, Lazero Zara Lo Itzchakra, because Bnei Banim Karein Kibanim. You don't need a limud to teach you grandchildren. Grandchildren are children. Ikalameda. Kabamina beperikishnochin ben eloin yela ben. Ben aben minayin. Basa ben minayin. Ben basa ben minayin. Tamalar ben elo ayin alav. So what do we see? That you do need a limud to teach you grandchildren. Here our Gemara is saying, grandchildren, ben aben, hareu keben, you don't need a limud, right? That's a natural halacha. Your grandchildren are the same as your children, right? Or at least when you don't have children, we treat your grandchildren like your children. But that wasn't true in Nachla. There the Gemara needed a limud. So says the Ramban, ikalameimar shayni hacha dechsiv zera. The Yesh Bechlal Zera Bnei Banim V'lav Dafka Bnei Banim Arim Kebanim the Kaimel Anomi Shein Bnei Banim Kebanim. The Ramban says, you know, it's a little bit complicated. So first thing he says is, the difference is, whenever the Torah says Ben or Bas, you can't extend beyond that generation unless you have a Limud. That's why in Yerusha, where the Torah says Ben and Bas, right? If not for the limud of ayin alav, we wouldn't have applied this din. Aye, but our Gemara says you don't need a limud, right? The answer is because our Gemara isn't really talking about bnei banim, kebanim, and it's not talking about ben or bas. What is our Gemara talking about? The zera ein law. It's a din in zera, not a din in ben and not a din in bas. There are two different dinim. Whenever you need a son or you need a daughter, right? So you don't extend beyond that without a limud. But whenever the Torah says zera, progeny, children, children include grandchildren. That makes total sense. Just one more second. What? Sorry, what's the question?
Why did the Gemara just say that? Then?
Why does?
Why did the Gemara just say that?
Oh, that's a good question. So what the Ramban is saying, that's what the Ramban adds. But two things. V'lav dafka bnei banim areim kebanim, because it's really zera, zara, hareu kezera. That's really what we're saying. He says, number one, dekaimel anami shein bnei banim kebanim. Actually, we don't even paskin bnei banim are kebanim. We'll see in a moment it's not so simple. Right? But we do paskin zera, zara, hareu kezera. V'chei mashu v'sechat Sanhedrin. There, the Gemara speaks about molech. Right? The horrible, you know, practice of Adazara, practice of Molech. They used to, you know, the Tanya Mavir Bno Ubito Ba'esh, Torah says, they used to pass them in a, you know, through fire. You know, it says Bno Ubito. Ainli Ella Bno Bito, Ben Bno, Ben Bito. What about grandchildren? Talmud Lomar ki mizaro. They're also they're Marbed grandchildren, right? Talmud Lomar ki mizaro alma zaro mashma klal afila lezera zaro ubno bito mashma dafka. Tas Ramban, what we see from here, this is good halachic thinking, right? You're right. I mean, basically, the Ramban is saying our Gemara is imprecise. Our Gemara, which says bnei banim k'rabanim, in this case, doesn't really mean bnei. It means grandchildren, and it means the son of son is k'son, but it's not b'toras ben, and it's not b'toras bas. It's b'toras zera. What we're being told is whenever there's a din of ben, that implies a certain specificity and intensity of relationship, and to say ben aben, hareu keben, or bas haben, kebas, or whatever it is, for that you need a limud. We'll discuss it. But wherever you need a remnant, a progeny, you know, a legacy, so, you know, why are grandchildren any less of a legacy than children? The intensity of the relationship, the hagdara of ben and av is different. But the idea of zera, which is a much broader concept, right? They're very intuitive. Now, there is, I think, another possibility to say, to salvage everything, and that is that whenever the Torah says zera, maybe that even establishes that we say b'nei banim harem kebanim. Meaning, when the Torah says ben or bas, then without a limud, we don't extend ben and bas. It has a much more specific connotation of a certain intense, exclusive relationship. And a, you know, next generation, a direct relationship. However, when the Torah says Zera, maybe under those conditions, when the phrase Zera is used, maybe that means that even Bnei Banim are even Kibanim. Right? That would solve the problem.
Zera goes much further than Bnei Banim.
Yeah, for sure. We're just wondering, that in our Gemara, the Gemara says, Zera ain la ayin alav. Mikan, the Gemara says that, you know, you don't, but b'nei banim are kebanim.
But we say Zera, we're from Avinu Gadi, you know what they have
to do. Ki b'yitzchak ikari l'chazara.
Yeah.
Well, when I finish this, remind me to speak a little bit about Yaakov Avinu, who, by the way, was the first grandson, right?
Yeah, right.
He was the first grandfather, too, in a way. You know, because what did he say? Ephraim and Menashe, Keruvim and Shimon Yeli. Right? Of course, and then 10 minutes later he said, who are they, by the way? He turned to Yosef, he said, who are these strange little people? But that's perfect, right? Anyways, yeah.
What was the limud that was toxic of no sloth, but certainly that wasn't the case of first impression.
Again, I'm not following.
The factual situation that Moshe brought up a Kaddish Baruch Hu from Nos Tlufa,
yeah,
that wasn't the first time. Surely that.
Oh, you're asking a different question.
No, the Pishnaya. Their question has to do with Pishnaya.
Yeah, specifically, also they wanted to know whether they, as the most direct heirs of their father, who himself was a Bechor, were therefore entitled to the to his double portion Bekever. Right? In other words, he was a Bechor, right? He didn't inherit himself. He didn't leave sons. Were they able to Yarshin his double Chelek or not? That's also part. But these are Gemaras of Balbasra. I don't want to get into that right now. I think we have our hands full enough with the children and the grandchildren for the moment. But yeah.
Why does the Ayin Law by us come to exclude Zerapostle and not come to exclude Zerapostle by Nahal?
By?
Why doesn't it exclude Zerapostle by Nahal? Maybe the limit in Nahal is debatable.
We'll see in a moment. We'll see in a moment. Look at the next Ramban, it'll partly answer a question. So, Ki Yitzra Korla Zerapostle, this is also very fascinating. Remember, the Torah, the Gemara here says two things, right? One is that you don't need Zera to teach you B'nei Banim, because B'nei Banim are in Kevanim. Now the Ramban is qualified what that really means. The Ramban is now saying, it's not really B'nei Banim Kevanim, it's Zera Zara Kezera. Right? It's, you know, having progeny, right? Fine. But where you need b'nei banim kebanim, that you need a limud. Oh, that's one question. Next question. When you have children, but there's some yichus problems, meaning they're not the ideal children. I don't mean their behavior or their conduct in school. I'm talking about alpidim, right, in terms of yichus, a mamzer, right, or a chalala, or chalalim, right? Is that called zera? Is that called ben? Is that called ach? Very fascinating questions, right? When the Torah says ben, ach, zera, right, do we need a limud to include psulim? Or, I mean, what is one thing after the other? If they have your scientific DNA, you know, then they're your brother, they're your son, and they're your zera. So what we're going to show you in a second is that the Ramban, it's a little counterintuitive, but not problematic at all. The Ramban was of the opinion that a brother and a son, ben and ach, are mikol makom, even without a limud. Okay? A ben and an ach are mikol makom, even without a limud. But a zera, right, without a limud, only means kosher. Now, why is that a little counterintuitive, but not a problem at all? It's a little counterintuitive because a second ago, we were suggesting, I think correctly, Ramban was suggesting, that zera is a much broader idea than ben, right? And that's why, you know, zera always includes zera, meaning it includes anybody in the line, right? Whereas, let's say, ben, unless we have evidence to the contrary, unless it gets inflated, you know, ben means your biological direct next generation, in other words, son. So if you look at it in a, you know, narrower way, what we're saying is that ben is a more specific, right, in a more exclusive category than zera. But now the Ramban's going to make the argument that it, you know, that goes in the opposite direction. Namely, that a ben and an ach, you know, we don't care about their yichus. We care about the relationship and the DNA. But zera, we care about the relationship. Of course, it's not a contradiction because, in a way, this is another way to look at this, and that is that a brother and a son, you know, because the relationships are so intense and specific, and they revolve around the actual proximity, you know, and the relationship, so it transcends, you know, the question of their stature or status, right? Whereas zera is a looser, it's about progeny, but the point is, because progeny can be, you know, 100 generations away, right? So maybe the way to be looking at it is only the ones that have certain legal, right, yichus stature. Anyways, listen to the Ramban and the Rajba for a second. You'll see it's just interesting. Again, these are not issues we can explore so much right now, but they're very critical. This is about family structure. What is the halacha's perspective on family structure, right? About children, about grandchildren, about great-grandchildren, about children who are ksherim, who are psulim, about zera, right? So kiyitzrik kral is zera. I'm sorry, yeah?
No, I'm saying the pasuk you mentioned before, kiyitzrik.
Ikari lecha zera?
Yeah. Obviously,
is a great example.
A great example.
Right, because it was Yitzhak and not Ishmael. Even though Ishmael had the DNA.
Right. Obviously Hagar went like a Sheru.
Right. So, exactly. So, Kibi Yitzhak Ikar Lechazara, he's your only real Zera. He didn't say Kibi Yitzhak Ikar Lecha Bain. Very good. Excellent. So, let's look at the Ramban on number 7. Here we're going to see that the Rajba disagrees. Ki yitzra kor lezer apostle, ikat akashale, harminim biyivamos. There's a sugi in Yivamos. So let's look at the sugi in Yivamos for a minute. The Mishnah in Yivamos, look at number 23. Mishu yesh lo ach, mikol mokom, zokek es eshes achiv ligibom. What does that mean? Anybody who has a brother, meaning if the married, you know, Reuven was married to Sarah, and Reuven died, right, without leaving children. So now the question is, what about Yibum? Correct? So what we're being told is, Mishi Yesh Lo Ach Mikol Mokom, as long as he has any brother, right, forget about his Yichus, that is, as long as it's Achiv, of course, Me'aviv, it doesn't matter his Yichus, right, that is subject to Yibum. Zokekes Eshes Achiv Li Yibum. The Achiv Ulechol Davar, and this is brother for all matters. Chutz mi sheyesh lo ach min hashifcha min avi kocham, that's not his real brother. Okay, fine. Mi sheyesh lo ben, let's say a person dies and he leaves a child. But let's say there's some problem with the child. Let's say it's not a miyuchas child, it's a mamzer. Right? So, and he doesn't have any other children. Is there yibum? No. Mi sheyesh lo ben mikol mokom, poter eshes aviv. Right? Min hayibum. Right? If there is any child, even if he's not a miyuchas, so there's a ptur yibum, b'chayv al makoso, al kilaso, ubno l'chol davar, chutz mishiyesh lo ben min hashifcha min hamskochav, because that isn't a real child. Right? That's a, there is DNA there, but legally, halachically, that's not considered your child. Right? A child is only a Jew if the mother is a Jew. Right? So the father who has a child with a non-Jewish woman, that is legally not his child. Fine. So the Gemara says as follows. Look, line 26. Mikom makom lasuye. What do you mean? Ach mikom makom, ben mikom makom, lasuye mai. What are we talking about? So the Gemara says, Amravid lasuye mamzer. Oh. Says the Gemara, pshita achivu. Terrific line in the Gemara. Meaning the Gemara is saying, who cares that he's a mamzer? Of course we care that he's a mamzer. For the dinim that matter of yichus, we care a lot. But since we're talking here not about Yichus, but about Yibum, and Yibum depends on whether there is a brother, so who cares that he's a mamzer? He's still his brother. He's not less his brother because he's a mamzer. I'm sorry?
How can you have two brothers that are not
mamzer?
Both?
How can you have two brothers?
One brother has to marry the other brother's wife. Right?
Okay.
And so the brother is the mamzer, so... The mother was...
They're not saying they have the same mother.
What?
They don't have to be from the same mother.
So, different mothers?
Sure. Just as long as the same father.
I can do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mao, the same Leleif, Achva, Mi Bnei Yaakov. Malalom cherim velo psulin, avkan cherim velo psulin, kamashmalam. So Gemara says, Vemachanami, kim galina nibum miftar, miskaknami zokik. Okay. So basically, what is the thrust of the Gemara? That there was a strange havamina because of achva mi bnei Yaakov. But all things being equal, what are we left with this in the Gemara? What are we left with from this Gemara? That La suya pshita achivu, that a mamzer, an ach, mamzer is an ach. Okay. Now look at the next Gemara. Mi sheyesh lo ben mikol mokom poter, mikol mokom la suya mai, om ravid la suya mamzer. The Gemara says, my time, da amar kra, u ben ein lo ayin olav. That's curious. Instead of saying pshita, and then bringing some kasol kadaitok, here the Gemara is saying, right? How come it does work, Taka, that Mamzer, right, qualifies for Ben? So the Gemara says, because it's a limud, who Ben Enlo, Ayin Olav, to teach you that even a Ben who's a Mamzer. So if you ask me, before we get to the Ramban and the Rajba, it seems like the Gemara in Yavamos is giving us a mixed solution. What the Gemara is telling us is something very, very fascinating. Namely, if you have a brother who's a mamzer, he's still fully your brother, linyan ibum, and linyan shemach. But if you have a son who's a mamzer, then his status as a son would be compromised if not for a particular limud. Right? Mixed evidence. But what's so interesting here is that neither the Ramban nor the Rajba saw it that way. They both assumed, I'm just telling you what to expect, and you'll see it in a second, they both assumed that what's true for the brother is true for the son, The only thing that they argued about is which is the default and which is the exception. So the Ramban starts off with the brother. So the Ramban says, you see from the brother, the Gemara says, Achiv, mamzer, big deal, pshita, achivu. Right? So the Ramban says, you see that a brother and a son, who he's equating in the Gemara, are brothers and sons, irrespective of the yichus. The Rashba, I'm going to show you in a second, says exactly the opposite. He says, you know why the brother is said that way? Because we already know the Gzeres HaKasuv about the son. But if not for the Gzeres HaKasuv, we would say that a son who's a not a miyuchas is not a son, and we'd say the same thing about a brother. Look at the Ramban for a second. Go back to Ramban. Ki yitzchakra luzer apostle, igat kashale, harminim b'yibamos, is the Gemara we just read, mishyesh lo ach, mikol makom, any kind of brother, zoke kasish tal yibum. Vamrinan, the Gemara says, mikol makom, lasuye mamzer, vakshinan, pshita achivu. What's the big deal? Zokadai techamina, nelapach vakum b'nei Yaakov, mahasum ksherim v'lo psum, mafach ksherim v'lo psum. Alma, now the Ramban's talking, end quote of the Gemara, zer apostle nami lo tzarech kra, the zarohu. We see from here that the problem of ach is not really a problem, except for some extraneous problem, even though he's a mamzer. So how can the Gemara, our Gemara say that zera, right, means zera kosher, unless you have a limud? The Gemara says in Yevamos that ach is bipshitus, even ach mamzer. Says Ramban, Ikala Meimar, Zera Mashma Kosher, Velo Pasol, Shem Yukos Kamoso, Abel Ben Vaach, Mashma Koldehu. What I said before is a little counterintuitive or ironic, but not contradictory, in fact, even understandable. In other words, the way the Ramban ends up here is that if you don't have a limud, but the Torah uses the expression Zera, there's a Kula and a Chumra. The kula is that zera means ad sof kol hadoros, progeny, a remnant DNA out there connected to you. But it also, that's the kula. The chumra is, I'm not sure whether kula, chumra are the right words here, but it doesn't matter. Right? The other side of it is that zera, if not for limud, right, absent the gzeres hakasuv, zera means zera kosher. Right? Progeny to be proud of. Official progeny. Brother and son, according to the Ramban, right, are just brother and son, without a limud. Doesn't extend beyond to grandchildren. But a brother is a brother and a son is a son, irrespective of their yichus. That's the Ramban. Now look at the Rashba, just one more second. Starting from 11, he starts with Ramban, so we can skip that part. He just quotes Ramban. Now look at line 16. Vana gavri chazina, tiyuf de lo chazina. As I see the people here, I don't see the problem. Dasam nami ben mamzer mikron afgalon. He points out what Ramban omitted, which we read in the Gemara, which is that when the Gemara speaks about ben and yibum, right, it does require a limud to teach you ben mamzer. Kedamin and hasam, mi sheish lo ben mikol makom lasuyamai lasuyamamzer, amrina my time, avadrina no makra, u ben lo ayin alav. The ach mamzer, the pshitalon, I, when it came to the brother, it just said pshitalon. Hasam da achivu, lav minav sheiv shitalahu, hasam. Elami benud of shita, once we know the ben, so we're now reflecting back on the brother. The kimid the benohu kidanaf kalem ayin lo im came pshita dachivu. Teda darminan hasam pshita achivu parkina maud the same alelif ach vachim bde Yaakov masam ksherim vlo psum achnam ksherim vlo psum arminan emachanami parkina mid the pater mizkaknam mizokik amakolika lo yifshitalon hasam ele bde patar eshesav min ayibam vahulon afkal alami ayin olav. Ain lo rather, ayin lo. So basically, the Ramban and Rashba came to two opposite conclusions. Right? Ramban says, a brother and a son are brothers and son, even if they're not miyuchasim. And the Rajba says, absolutely not. If Zera requires yichus, then certainly Ach and Ben require yichus. But if you ask me, there's a third shita. If you really are medayik in the Gemara, what the Gemara says is what? An Ach is a brother, even without yichus, but a son is only a son with yichus. Now, is that a difference between a son and a brother across the board? That would be fascinating. It's a different relationship, right? Or is it the difference between chiyuv yibum and being poter miyibum? Something very specific to yibum. I'm not sure. Yeah?
I want to define a mamzer.
Yeah. What is a mamzer?
A mamzer is a woman who has a child with someone who's not her husband.
It's the child.
Right, so how can you have a ben mamzer? He's not the father. How is he a ben thing? I mean, this woman...
He can have a child, he has a child with a woman who he is not allowed to have a relationship with. If he has a relationship of chayvei krisus with a woman who's chayvei krisus to him...
So you're defining mamzer a little more broadly.
No. A mamzer is, well, it's a machlokas in the Gemara, what is a mamzer? Well, we, whether it's Rabbi Akiva thought b'chai b'lavin, we paskin b'chai b'krisus with the exception of Nida. Eshesish is the most prominent example, but it's not the only example. Right? It's a generally speaking, with some exceptions that I don't want to go into it right now, it's called an erva relationship, which is usually a kares or above chomor relationship. In other words, with an isha which who is not subject to ishus, like a relationship between a brother and a sister, an incestuous relationship, or an eshes ish. Something like that, a chai bekrisus, the product of that relationship is a mamzer. Now, how can we talk about a person, about, you know, as I say, different mothers? It's not so difficult.
Can I ask you?
But that's the case here. He has a son who is a mamzer. That's he fathered a son with an eshes ish. Is that son poter min hayibum or not? That's the Gemara's discussion in Yivam.
Just to back of knowledge.
When you start doing with the fingers, I know we're in trouble. It's like one of these apparently innocent questions, and it's a...
Moms can only marry mamzerus, right?
Yes. Okay, shifcha.
So if he dies, and his wife is a mamzerus, she falls even to the brother that's not a mamzer?
Hold on one second. Go back again. Do we really have to do this? I mean, is this...
I'm saying a mamzer is a...
It's a real question?
Mamzeris, right?
No, I mean, also shifcha, kananis.
It's a normal case.
Yeah,
normal
okay.
Case,
you're talking about the allowance.
Yeah, he's allowed to marry the mamzeris.
Okay, so, but he can have a relationship.
He dies, now she falls to Yibum to his brother.
Who's not a mamzer, is what he's asking.
The brother's not a mamzer.
You're bothered by having...
No, just in general, how does it work? How can the kosher marry his brother who's a mamzer's wife? Through Yibum.
We're talking about the case of the Gemara, where...
Not the case of the Gemara, just...
Why should we talk about...
A mamzer marries a mamzeris,
okay.
And he dies, and she doesn't have any children. So
a mamzer marries a mamzeris, doesn't have any children...
And he dies.
And he dies. This isn't our case.
She falls Yibum to his brother, who's the kosher. He's not allowed to marry mamzeres.
Why not?
A mamzeres can't come into the Klal Yisrael. She has to marry another mamzer.
But either way, I don't want to get into that right now, but that's not the case that we're talking about.
I know what's right. That case.
So why should we talk about that?
I don't know the halacha.
Okay. First of all, they're chai v'lavin, you might need chalitza, it's a whole business, but it's not for now. That's not a chai v'krisis problem. It's not a chai v'krisis problem. This comes under the rubric of what the Chovas Halvavos in his Hakdama, you know, was critical about.
Critical about
No. The Chovos HaVavos in the Hagdama to his Sefer says that, you know, he doesn't understand why people ignore Chovos HaVavos. Instead, they try to figure out all these, you know, convoluted, you know, Yibum and Chalitza cases. That are, you know, kind of, you know, to display their mathematical prowess. It's not a question. I mean, it would be an interesting question. We could figure it out. But it's sort of take time for now. It's not our. It's not the case of the Gemara at all.
Right.
Yeah.
I still see Ayamot in Yevamos, right? Where Yehuda comes back and says, "Ben in lo ayin alav." That's the term from Mamzeres. Why is that one Mamzeres and ours is a psul?
I'm sorry.
That one's Mamzeres. Ours is a psul, and the last one.
Well, you mean as opposed to?
As opposed to, right? They're going in different directions. One is going from.
In both cases, we need a limud to extend beyond ksherim to show that these relationships are effective even bipsulim. Why is that wrong? Why is that? Isn't that the same?
No, because
we need to say I in a love.
Right. They're using the same I in love. So why by us?
And also in our Gemara.
Yeah. So that's the whole difference. Why in our Gemara are they using it to invalidate of soul? And in the other two locations, they're using them.
Not invalidate of soul. Why we need invalidate?
It's coming at Zerah Engla.
No, they're two different. I mean, the applications are just different. Lemaisa, meaning in one case we're talking about Yibum, and we want to know, is this a proper brother? Is this a proper son? In the Gemara here that we're dealing with, we're trying to figure out whether or not an Eishes, a Bas Kohen, returns to her father's home, or whether or not a remnant of her family with the Yisrael will passel her, will disqualify her from that.
But in our Gemara, they came back and said, it says, Mazara Engla Ayala, we use that to invalidate.
We use that to include a Zera Pasel as a Zera,
right.
And then we're doing exactly the same thing
right.
In Yevamos.
Because of that, we had to go on and say that Ben is like a grandson is like a son.
No. We just said that if we already used up the limud in Ein Ayin for Psul, how are you going to know about the next generation? The answer is we don't need a limud for the next generation because whenever there's a din of Zera, it includes Zera Zara. And then the Ramban was pointing out that that's a din in Zera and Zera Zara, but not really a din in Ben where you need B'nei Banim Kebanim. Two different points. Okay? Yeah.
I think there might be a difference between the exclusive or inclusive. When she's a daughter of a Kohen,
yeah. The
question is, what's going to keep her from returning to
the
relationship she had as a child?
Right.
She was always a Bas Kohen.
She can't return to her childhood as long as there's a remnant.
Maybe it could be that even the... you need a real stark, you know... Ma'akev to keep her from coming back. You know, she's like a ping pong ball.
But there's no. All I'm saying, I understand that. In each case, you have to ask that question. In other words, how difficult or easy is it, you know, to restore this relationship or to keep
but
the one that's
100%
could be. But I'm saying either way. I mean, that might be a different answer to the question you're saying. Maybe, but either way, with Ramban and Rajbar say, just to sum up so far, what we have is Argamar says b'nei banim arim kibanim, even though the makar is zera. And the Gemara makes it seem like B'nei Banim Kebanim is a natural halacha. So that's what we have so far. Then we have the Ramban who points out that when it comes to Nachala, it seems like, number one, even without a limud, I'm sorry, without a limud, we do not say, you know, that B'nei Banim Kebanim, which is what leads Ramban to conclude that despite the language of our Gemara, the Gemara is really not Meduyak here according to the Ramban, and that's really the din is Zera Zara, but really we don't even pass Kim B'nei Banim Kibanim. We'll see, it's a little more complicated in a minute. What do you do with the Gemara in Bava Basra, Kuf Tezvav, which ends up saying B'nei Banim are Kibanim, right, under those conditions? So let me add another point, and it's also, I think, relevant. In the Gemara in Bava Basra, when the Gemara talks about Yerusha, that you have a son, right, and he dies. You have a son and a daughter, the son dies, but he has grandchildren, or great-grandchildren, or great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren, doesn't matter. They all go prior to the daughter. And again, it's not discrimination. If she dies, and she's prior to the brother, and she has great-great-great-great-great-great, they also get before the brother. Meaning, the whole line gets before the next level. So the truth is that a din b'nei banim or ain kibanim? The way the Ramban portrays it, he starts off by assuming yes, but you need a limud for that. And then he says, but by the way, we don't pass kibbutz banim kibbutzim anyway. So what is that halacha? Ah. So just to point out that in Yerusha, the pashtus, that's not the halacha of b'nei banim kibbutzim necessarily either. The real halacha in Yerusha, according to some, to be careful, is the din of Yerusha b'keber, or what we call Yerushas mishmush. Meaning, the person who, as long as there is a direct yoresh ever, in the process, according to one view of Yerusha, that's the only yoresh. Let me explain. The father was predeceased by his son, Nebuch. Right? So let's say now there's a grandson. We'll see this in a minute. It's not so simple. But what you might explain in the Gemara in Kuftas Vav and Balbasra is the grandson isn't Yoresh before the daughter. The son is always Yoresh before the daughter. Just that the son is Yoresh Bekeber. Right? Even though he's no longer alive, right? In the abstract, what happens is that he's Yoresh and then he's Morish to his son. He's the first and only Yoresh, and then he gives it to his Yoresh. So really, now this is of course a question. There are two types of Yerushas out there. One is called Yerushas Mishmush, or Yerusha B'kevra, what I just described. There's also, perhaps, a direct Yerusha, which is more complex. The Ramban really addresses this in his Perish Al HaTorah, right, in that Parsha, in Bamidbar, where he says, how come the Torah doesn't mention, brothers, it only mentions uncles? Right? Our children and uncles. Like, what's going on there? So the Ramban talks about vertical and horizontal, without using those words, Yerusha. And basically it has two deos. One deo, the Ramban, is that a brother or an uncle basically are Yoresh directly. Not just through, the predeceased prior relative. So let me highlight this in the following way. There's a fascinating Gemara, to now get back to B'nai Banim for a minute. There's a very well-known, fascinating Gemara in Balbastra, Kuf Nun Tes. Go to page 2, number 12. Listen to this. Itmar. Ben Shemachar B'nitzei Aviv B'chaye Aviv. Okay? Let's say the son is a little bit strapped for cash. Right? The father, Baruch Hashem, right, is a wealthy man, but he also has longevity, and, it may have Yesrim, right? But meanwhile, the son needs some cash. So, Ben Shemachar B'nitzei Aviv B'chaye Aviv. Tries to sell off, question whether he can do this or not, but he tries to sell off his future Yerusha. Now let's say his future Yerusha stands to be $1,000. All right? So obviously, you're not going to sell $1,000 potential Yerusha. We've talked about this in like a chov, right? You're not going to get $1,000 for it. But you might be able, depending on the actuarial tables, and so on, you could get $500 for it, or you can get $800, or you can get $200, depending on the rest of the circumstances. So that's a question, whether he can do this or not. But let's assume for the Ben Shemachar B'nitzei Aviv B'chaye, let's say he can do it in a way that's effective, right? Umeis. So then what happens? He's been waiting for his Yerusha to come in, and they keep making more and more parties, Baruch Hashem, for the father. Meanwhile, he dies. Right? So what happens? He has a son. He dies. 10 years, 20 years, 100 years later, the grandfather, meaning the father, now the grandfather, dies. Right? So what happened was, in other words, you had three generations. Right? Grandfather, father, son. So what happened was, the father died first. But before he died, he sold off his rights to his to the grandfather's Yerusha. Now the grandfather dies. The grandson now is confronted by the Lokeach, the person who bought out his father's row all the way back 30 years ago, right? So the Gemara says a fascinating thing. Beno motzi miyana lakulos. The son, the grandson, in other words, he has primacy. He can, he says to Lokeach, sorry, your problem. Zui shakasha b'dine mamanis. What?
So in other words, the Lekuchos grabbed it first? Or?
The Lekuchos want to grab it first.
Right,
but he said, whatever. Okay, yeah. Meaning, whether it's actually motzi or means that they don't get it, it doesn't make a difference so much. B'no motzi miyata Lekuchos. V'zui shakasha b'dine mamanis. This is not a small matter. So the Gemara says, v'leim relay. Why don't the Lekuchos turn to the grandson and say, Avuch, your father, Mazbin, the Atmapik, he sold us his share in the Yerusha, and you're taking, now you're grabbing it from us? No, he sold us his share in the state of your grandfather, meaning his father, and now you're undercutting us? So the Gemara says, Amai Kushya, what's the big deal? Dumamatsi Amar Mikoach Avua Da Abakasino. So the grandson turns to the Lokeach and he says, I'm not yarshining my father, who's finally yarshining his father, my grandfather. I'm directly being yoresh from my grandfather. Right? B'nei banim kebanim, in a way. Or abi abba ka'aba. So the Gemara says, that works. Listen, it gets better. Teida d'chsiv, maybe it's special limud. Tachas avosecha, yu banecha. Right? Tishisema l'sarim b'chala aretz. Wow. Tachas avosecha yubanecha. But then the Gemara says, okay, that's not such a big deal, apparently. Ikasha hakasha. Listen to this one. Ben b'chor, we talked about b'nos safchad, right? Ben b'chor, shemokar chelik b'chor b'chayyam. The same scenario. Right? Ruven, Shimon, Levi. Ruven is the grandpa, Shimon's the father, Levi is the grandson. Okay? So Reuben, right? Shimon Levi. Shimon is a Bechor. Okay? So Ben Bechor, Shemachar, Chelik Bechor, Bechai Yaviv, and he sells his double portion in Reuven's estate, right, while Reuven is still alive. And then Mace, Bechai Yaviv, then Shimon dies, right? Then Reuven dies. Now the only one left standing is, well, Levi and the Lekuchos, right? Yeah. So Bno Motzim Yal Lekuchos Vizui Shakasha B'dinei Manas Abu Amazbin Iu Mapik. Father sold off this double portion and he's collecting it. He's taking it away from the Lekuchos. B'chitei Mahachanami Amar Mikoach Abu Adabakas. You know, it's the same case. He'll just say, I didn't inherit my father, I inherited my grandfather. The father, Shimon, was the Bechor. Levi, the grandson, is not a Bechor. He's not a Bechor of the grandfather. There's no such thing as a grandson who's a Bechor of a grandfather. So how can he grab the double portion? So listen to what the Gemara says, an amazing line. And this is Lahalacha, this is Nifsak Lahalacha. My Kushya. Wow. Meaning, I collect as the grandson in place of my father. That's all having your cake and eating it too, but we paskin that way. Which means, obviously, meaning, it's b'nei banim, b'toras banim, if you will. Meaning, I have a right to undercut what he did because, as my grandfather's grandson, that changes my status as my father's son too. That's complicated.
He stepped up to a different category.
Yeah.
Well, why are we worried about the Lekuchos? Why are we worried about the other brothers?
What do you mean, other brothers?
He's entitled to being a Bechor.
I don't know if there's
an impact on his uncles. Obviously, he's a Bechor because they're uncles.
No. But vis-a-vis, if there wasn't Lekuchos, there wouldn't be a question. Of course, a grandson is Yo, that's the story of Tzavchad.
He may not be entitled to Rechel Kabachor.
Why not?
Because he has uncles.
So what? That's the story of Tzavchad. That's the Benos Tzavchad. The Benos Tzavchad were entitled to their father's Chelek Bechora.
Right.
Because
his father died prior to his grandfather. So maybe Chelek Bechor is gone.
No. That's not true.
Why is it in this case?
I mean, you're basically you're stating that Chelek Bechora is not subject to Yerusha Bekever. That's not true. What may be true, but I don't want to get into this right now, is that according to the Ramban Al Torah, who makes a diuk in Parshas Kitetze based on the word al pnei, lo yoyuchal levaker, right? As pnei, so the Ramban says that the iser of lo yuchal levaker doesn't apply bekever. That only applies while the father and son are alive. But the Yerushas Chelek HaBechora, we know from Benos Slavka that is Bekever. We know from Benos Slavka. That's Furash. That's the story of Benos Slavka. What happened to Benos Slavka? Their father died. Their father was a Bechor. Not only were they asking for a Chelek Pashut in their grandfather's estate, stepping into their father's shoes, they were saying, we want his Chelek Bechora. That's Chelek Bechora Bekever. This is a very remarkable thing. So let me mention something else. Where do you have a big discussion of B'nai Banim Kibanim? In period of Rivia. Right? Let's say, again, a sad story. Right? A person has children, and they die. And he has grandchildren. So I produced a little bit. If you look here, the Gemara on Samach Beis, the Gemara says, Samach Beis, without anything. Rav Yochanan Amar Lo Kiyem, Ravuna Amar Kiyem, right? Because Ein Ben David Bad Shechalu Kol Neshamo Shebeguf. Rav Yochanan said, Lo Kiyem L'Shevas Yitzar B'inam Valeka, because there's nothing, a remnant. Right? Then the Gemara goes on, B'nei Banim, Arein Kibanim, Kitanya Hila Hashlim. What if you have Mesle, B'nei Banim U'Kivanim, Mesle Echadoshinim Tzasaris, Lokiim Pir V'Rivya. The Gemara goes on to discuss what happens, Bro Lebra, Barta Lebarta, Koshkein Bro Lebarta, what about Barta Lebra? Right, if you have to redo Pir V'Rivya with grandchildren, how does that work? Any combination of a male and a female, or does it have to be, the same kind of... So again, without going into details, and the details matter a lot here, this is what the Gemara calls B'nei Banim Kibanim. Why? Because here, in Piri Bariv, you have to leave a Ben and a Bas, not just Zera. Right? You don't fulfill Piri Bariv with Zera. So I'll tell you another example. A fascinating example. And that is in terms of Kibud Av V'Aim and Kaddish. So it's a very interesting exchange. I remember I had a Talmud once who was in this situation. He was very close to a grandfather who died. And he wanted to know whether he should say Kaddish or not. So this is really an interesting debate between the Marik and the Rama. So look on the... and then I'll go back to Talmud Torah. There are numerous examples of this, but I don't want to take too long. Look on page 4. Look at line 21. Before we get to that, let's talk about Talmud Torah for 1 minute. In Talmud Torah, v'shinanta levanecha, right? So you have the obligation to teach your children. You also have an obligation to teach any child. However, the Gemara says in Kiddushin there's a difference. You have to pay tuition for your children. You don't have to pay tuition for other people's. If you did, it would be an amazing thing, by the way. But many people end up doing that. But some people also don't even pay tuition for their children. Anyways, look here at Shulchan Aruch Yehudei Hilchos Talmud Torah Sun Reish Ramei Sif Gimel on the top of the page. Kishem Shemitzvah Lalamed is Beno Kach Mitzvah Lalamed is Ben Beno. Just look at the language of Shulchan Aruch. It comes from the Gemara, from the Rambam, but just as is a mitzvah to teach your son, so to your grandson. Shenemar, and Pasuk here is very, very, very suggestive. Vodatim levanecha ulevenei vanecha. It mentions grandchildren in the Pasuk. Right? ולא לבן בנו בלבד, אלא מצווה על כל חכם ישראל ללמד לתלמידים, שגם הם נקראים בנים. Does that dilute the grandchildren? It's not מדין? בני בנים כבנים? אלא שמצווה להקנים בנו לבן בנו, children before grandchildren, ובן בנו לבן חברו. Is that just quantitative? Or because it's a din of bnei banim kebanim before you get to vishanta levadacha talmidecha? Question, right? So the next halacha says, chayv lahaskir melamed the bno, the lamdo, aval ben chavero in a chayv lahaskir. Now look at the line 12, the shach. Shach says, kosav marshal hu adin the ben bno, that you have to be maskir a melamed. Right? Umeviu aprisha kesav mishnah. Right, Gamkein, Efshad Gam Leben Beno Chayv Lahaskir Melamed, Vuhadin Leben Ben Beno, a great grandson. But he's Mistapek about a Ben Bito, a grandson from a daughter. Why? No discrimination. It's not because of the grandchild, the grandsonly relationship is different. This is very interesting, because if it's Bnei Banim Kebanim, it shouldn't matter. But the reason here is that because the Efshad Ein Kodim Lechavero, because there's no chiv to teach the daughter Alpidin, right? So maybe the Ben Abbas, again, how direct is the Ben Bas to the grandfather? An interesting question. The Piskei Tshuva quotes the Chacham Tzvi, this is on line 17, that Kola Korov Kodem, that dilutes it a little bit. Like, oh, it's just in the hierarchy of Korva. But it sounds like it's a special din in grandsons. Anyway, that's in terms of Talmud Torah. What about in terms of Kibud Av and Kaddish? So this is an interesting question. So look at the Marik. Marik says, Nir Laniyaz Daiti, just finish with this and we'll stop. Afino Hayino Omrim Sheesh Lomar Kaddish Babur Zikno O Ziknoso Dibnei Bonim Reim Kibanim Mikamakam Lava Kibanim Mamish. Even if we do think that Bnei Banim Kibanim applies in Kaddish, it's still different than real sons. V'yeshol ben lito yoser mi ben aben. Right? And the greater obligation is on a child. And if we're talking about in the old days where only one person would say Kaddish, and they're trying to, you know, apportion it according to, you know, who had more rights, right, this became an interesting question. The Zedavar Pashat, the Kolshkein, says the Marik, Lefi Anios, Hanir Lanios Daiti, Ain the Ben Aben Lomar Kaddish Bishul Zikna Yosem Yodam Acher. The Marik's opinion was that a grandson has no Kibud Avim at all, zero, and therefore there's no special Yichus to say Kaddish for a grandparent any more than anybody else could say for anybody who needs Kaddish to be said. Sharimatsinu, Shamir's Kaddish, Toli Bechiv, Akavod, Omra Haposkim, Shnei Achim Notlim, Shnei Chalakim, Bekaddish, Shekolechet Chai Bekvod Aviv, Vamachar Shadavar Toli Bekvod Aviv, Imkei Nira Sheben Aben, Shein Chai Bekvod Zikno, Sharimatsinu Beshimokom, Shis Chai Vele Bekvod Haav, Haim, Eishes Aviv Bechayav, Balimo Bechayav, Achiv Agadol, Muchachlo Mikroi Gemaras in the end of Ksuvis. Oesha Saviv Afil Lachar Misa Saviv L'mitzvah B'Alma Avo Ben Aben B'Kvodav Zelo Matzina B'Shomakom. We never found it. Vim Kain, the others will say, you don't need to find it. It's B'nei Banim Kibanim. Right? Ein Lo Lachar Misa Saviv Mitzvah B'Alma Lomer Yosek Kaddish Me'odem Achar Elisha Noag Kain. I'm sorry?
B'nei Banim is always the dam. How do you know it goes up?
That's also a good question. Yeah. We'll see. Yeah, that's an issue also in Psulei Kurva, by the way. Rishon v'Shlishi, a grandfather to a grandson and a grandson to a grandfather. That's a sugan kufchav chesem balbasu that I have here, just a touch of it, but that's also a big question. V'hodar minim de b'nei banim rein kebanim, says the Marik, hainu dafka lin yimperi of Arivia, da hai k'tani lo kedisa b'b'choros, av lo lin nacher, teida, Sharia ben aben kosher lahoy lezikno. He brings a raya from the fact that one man da amar mar bravashi in Vavavastra, which we have printed here. Afagabdalis halachasak vase. It's also fascinating. Meaning the principle of behind mar bravashi, which is that we don't say bnei banim kebanim, is true no matter what. Wow. Mikomokam pshita shetzorach liyashe vabraisa. What about Piri of Arivia and so on? So I'm going to skip this. Okay. Look at the Ramah, who disagrees on both points, on Kibud Avim and on the Kaddish. There's more Chidushim by the Marik here. I just don't want to get into it. So, yeah. In the end, by the way, he suggests that what you should do is like split it up. That you should do like two-thirds Banim and one-third Bnei Banim. He said, if you really, really want to push it and do it, you know, do two and one. Okay. I mean, two-thirds. Two times for the son, one time for the grandson. Listen to the Rama. Nitbakashti me'azokein nezake alokim umeuna nikar b'sharim kamar shanikra anshol kainzagura. I don't know what that is. L'chavisodaiti im efshar sheben bito, can his grandson, his daughter's son, yuchalom lo kadosh achrimoso. I guess Anshul was starting to see his own mortality, you know, and he was planning, you know. So he was trying to set up that his, you know, his grandson should say kadosh. He only had daughter, I guess, right? Machar shehu gidlo bebeis. So this is a little more complicated because he was also gidlo bebeiso, right? He raised him in his home, and hiskir lo rebi ve'vio l'chayei olam haba. He paid his tuition, right? V'amarti lo chein. I told him yes. Ubikish mimenu lahoris lo beksav kedei shiel ben bita l'raya bekamokam hashayelech, because he was afraid they're going to go out. And all the bloggers are, you know, going to go, how do you know? You know, prove it to me. Right? So he said, can you write me a tshuva? I guess he thought, you know, a tshuva of the Rama would still help. Vine basi l'malos ritzono. So the Rama says, I'm going to help him out. Vine golu yumafursam b'tshuvas marik shekosel kem behedjesh yuchalom akadish b'makomo. Right? That you could. Says the Rama, with all due respect to the Marik, I think it's important to add to the Marik's conclusion. Because the Marik said he can do it, it's fine, it's good, it's okay, but he's not really chayiv in kibud av avi aviv, his grandfather. And he pretty much said, very nice, but he's not really different than any other person who's stepping into this obligation. But that is not my view of this matter. Right? It should have just said chayiv velo bikvod avi aviv. So you see, it's a relative thing. So he says, I disagree with the Marik. Kol shkein dekamo asher hanal gidal ayosam toch beso. And then when you add to it that he brought him up in his home, and the Gemara says in Sanhedrin kolam agadol yosam toch beso. It's a very beautiful tshuva. Kilu yilado. V'limdo sham me'apsukim harbe, v'kolshkein shevi l'chay l'mabash, v'sachal l'rebi l'lamdo, v'omr d'kvod rabo kodim l'kvod aviv, shezem me'vi l'chay l'mazev, v'vi l'chay l'mabah. Kolshkein b'kamar asher d'kulu s'nai, so he has everything going for him, right? It's b'nei banim, avi aviv, it's kibud av'eim, it's gidlo kiyasom, right? It's, he paid for his education. Sheben bito yomer alav kadosh kashar avelim ubevad shetisratza bito lazeh v'lo takbid shebno yagid kadosh because she also has rights, so she shouldn't be makbid because her kibud aim comes before the grandfather's kibud avi aviv ki yosachai b'kvod aviv v'imam b'kvod avi aviv, right? And then he adds something very fascinating. He says u'mishum shomer parakamet sanhedrin last year's limud the mitzvah of tzoa. Shara, right? I didn't mean that part, whatever. But he's listened to this. This was, you know, the Rama, because even though he believed this, there was no clear precedent. Talk about Masorah, right? And respecting past practices of the community. Even in something like this, you know, it's not, anybody can say Kaddish for someone. That's clear. But to have special status of a grandson, so the Rama was a little queasy about it. Gam shaloye nira zek davar chadash aniach davar al psharas marik. Says even though I think much more than the marik on this point, in terms of this being more of a substantial chiyuv, I like the compromise of the two-thirds. Shabela ben yomer pamachas v'amagin alo v'v'ima yomer beis pavim. Kein yel azeh. Haben bita yomer chuhu pamachas v'yelo chelik echad v'kaddish v'avil alo v'v'imo beis chalakim v'yomer beis pavim. U'bezeh lo yeh davar chadash ki haya b'yamim arishonim asher lefaneinu kemevuar b'divrei marik. Right? V'chaim v'shalom v'kol Yisrael. Either way, the point I'm trying to make is whether it's, sorry, went a little over, but Bnei Banim Areim Kibanim in Yerusha, we didn't get to speak about Psule Kurva, in Yibun, right? In Piri of Arivia, in Amiras Kaddish, in Talmud Torah, and there are numerous other issues, in Yerusha, of course, as well.
What about the Mon Makos, Kandibno, Kandibembino?
That's a good makar too. A few others. Very good.
There's no cover for.
That's the question. So if you ask, like, what's the question? We have mixed evidence. Or Zera, right? Zera kosher, Zera pasul, Achiv, no kosher, pasul. So I think it very much depends on the criteria, what we started with. And that is that there are certain halachos where the intense and almost exclusive relationship, and the relationship which, in a way, borders. You know, on Shlosha Shutfim La'odam comes into play. And that you don't have in grandparents. But what you do have in grandparents is a din of Zera, Yotze Yerecho, you know, legacy, progeny, for sure. But even in some cases, B'nei Banim Kibanim, right? Where, again, within a hierarchy, not to take the place of the father, right? But through the father, that's why the Gemara Bava Basra, you know, avi, what does it say? How does it go? Betar avi, right, he's yoresh, but he's omeid bimakom aviv. And that's a bnei banim betoras, right, ben ha'av. And that's what you have in certain issues, in certain halachas.
What about adoption?
Well, adoption is the second half of what the second and third points that the Ramah is talking about. Kol agid lo betok beso.
Would an Ashes Baz Kohen be allowed to?
No. I mean, so adoption in terms of Bakar Satov, in terms of things like that, but obviously it doesn't. Okay, we'll stop here. Next week we'll continue with the next Gemara. But of course, there's much more to talk about in family structure in this.